evening, everybody.
Good evening.
To God be the glory, and we welcome our friends from around the world. And we thank God for what the Holy Spirit is going to do here in a few minutes. How's everybody week?
Good.
Great.
Absolutely wonderful.
A little bit chilly.
Yeah, it was a little chilly. We thank God for sending Michael back to us safe, driving through the snow blizzard coming from Michigan. And so, what an amazing time we had Sunday, huh?
We did.
I tell you, when you trust God, God will work it all out, won't he?
Right.
Every time.
Every time. And it's something else when the pastor get up here and he feels like he's a little baby. Because that's where I felt. God, I don't have a message. What is the message, Holy Ghost? And it wasn't until Moment sitting there and he said, take them back. Okay. What did it say, Deke?
Way back.
Way back. way back.
Oh,
to God be the glory. And it was. It was a beautiful time in the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, if I ask you to describe your very favorite moment, what would that be? What would you tell me? What would you tell me?
Favorite moment with the Lord or favorite moment in life?
What would be your most favorite moment? I would tell you, maybe I should take the lead on this, because y'all are looking at me like a deer in the headlights.
Yep.
I'm thinking there's too many to choose from.
Yeah.
I would tell you my favorite moment in life is every moment I get to be with Lord Jesus. There is no comparison in life, people, when it comes to God himself. Remember when I made a statement with you all some time ago, what do you think it was like for Moses to go into the presence of God for the very first time up on that mountain? What was that like?
Crazy overwhelming.
Huh?
Crazy overwhelming.
Crazy overwhelming. Okay, let's see how we fix those two together.
Like beyond overwhelming.
Okay. Well, what about the crowd that sat before Lord Jesus for the very first time? And he sat there teaching them on the side of that mountain. What do you think maybe that was like for them?
Very exciting.
Or even go back just a little bit earlier in that, when John the Baptist was baptizing, and then Lord Jesus appeared in the crowd, and he introduces Jesus to two men. Who are those two men? John the Baptist.
Oh.
Who are the two men? Oh, y'all got some homework to do.
Well, I don't know. He was baptizing and walked up. Behold, the Lamb of God.
Yeah, but who was he talking to?
The crowd, I think.
Who were the two prominent men in that crowd besides Lord Jesus all by himself?
Peter?
Oh, you get lukewarm.
Paul?
Not yet. Boy, we do. Was it who?
The surf, what do you call
the those? Sadducees?
Pharisees or Pharisees? Somebody.
How about Andrew and John? John, who wrote the Gospel of John?
Oh.
They were actually the first two of the line of disciples that laid eyes upon Jesus.
Who's Andrew? Andrew was a disciple.
And yes, he was. It's Peter's brother.
Okay.
Andrew went and got Peter and brought him back and introduced him to Lord Jesus. But John the Baptist made the bold statement, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I wonder what went through John and Andrew's mind when they laid eyes upon him, because they got so bold that they asked him a question. They said, Rabbi, where are you going? Anybody know what his response was? He said, come and see. And the scriptures tell us that they stayed with him all the way until the evening hour. Imagine what that was like for them. For the first time, you lay eyes upon the Son of God, and you get to spend time with him face to face. What was that like? Let's make a connection and we'll go in prayer. Paul, in chapter 3, is doing something with the Corinthian church because it's such an infant church in Christ. He's telling them, this is what your life is supposed to look like. When you laid eyes upon the Messiah for the very first time in the Spirit, and when he came to you, you are no longer the old man. Everything now is new. And so because everything is new, you must remember who you now belong to. You cannot forget that birth, that very first time when the Master got a hold of your heart. That's what he's engaging them in today. And you're going to see that. And
that's a feeling like being born again.
It is. It is. And none of us here can remember the moment that God brought us through the birth canal. But something happened with that baby when that baby come out of the mother's womb into this world. It was a brand new creature to the world. And that baby had to be nourished by its mother. Okay? That's you and me. When we were born again by God into the world of Jesus, the kingdom of Jesus, Jesus Christ himself by the Spirit has to do what with us?
Nourish
us. He has to nourish us. And do you really think that that baby forget those moments with the mother, especially when she's nursing him or her? No, because that's mama.
Yeah, bonding with mama.
Right, bonding. Are y'all beginning to get this now? And the more the mother nursed the baby here, the more the baby what? Want it. And when the mama can't be there, the baby go what? It cuts up.
Yeah.
So the Corinthian church was doing what?
Cutting up.
They were cutting up. So Paul had to bring them back to where they're supposed to belong. Is this making any sense to you all?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to throw my wallet there. Don't take it home.
It's like in the beginning.
You do, you spend the church money. I do it all the time.
Way to put that on me.
What a weight. To God be the glory. So that's what we're going to see today in chapter 3. And you're going to see some spanking.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You're going to see some go stand in the corner now.
Chastisement.
Or you're going to see some, hey, where'd it go? All right. But all in all, you're going to see brand new children, brand new babies being cradled, being fed, being burped, even being changed. Okay?
And reminded over.
And that baby is going to be growing. And the more the mother tends to the baby, the more that baby becomes what?
Dependent
upon the mother. The mother is who? Jesus.
Right.
Okay? And the one doing the nurturing is the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? Y'all ready for that? Lord, I don't know where that came from, but it sure sound good.
It sounds like in the beginning.
It sounds like in the beginning. Go way back. Okay? All right.
Go back where we started with the Jesus.
We're praying for a lady today. We don't know her, but we know she's going through some stuff. We witnessed it firsthand by the Holy Ghost today. Convinced in my heart while you're praying, the Holy Ghost is at work. I'm convinced, Miss Vicky, that what the prophet Isaiah said from the mouth of God, while you're yet praying, I will answer you.
Amen.
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 Chris is getting ready to take off for Kenya. She's going to need traveling mercies. Not only traveling mercies, but when she hits the ground, she's going to need energy. Okay? Her family's going to need her covering. The covering of God, that is. But most important, what needs to happen when Chrissy hits the ground? The Kenyans need to see the face of Jesus on her.
Amen.
All right.
Can we pray specifically that the children's hearts are being prepared even now?
Sister, you wouldn't be going if it wasn't fertile ground.
Amen.
Okay? When the Holy Ghost allow us to go out, the ground is already ready.
Yep.
Okay?
You have everything you need. Make sure.
Pray for a great harvest Thursday here.
Amen.
Yes.
Our desires from Lord Jesus that we will have lions going out that door. Because our desire is to love every person so close that they will see Jesus on us. Amen?
Amen.
And desire Him. That's what we want. And we get to share Jesus with the multitudes that He's going to send us.
Amen.
And it's got to be a God thing, because let me tell you something, people. The way God brought people together to make this happen. Okay? I'm telling you, to make this happen. I actually had to turn people away to know we don't need any more help.
Praise God.
What pastor want to do that? So.
Can I tell you something?
Sure.
I got a phone call today here, okay?
You're mine.
Chris is going to send you some more money for the ministry, some girl named Chris. She said she already donated, but she's donated again this year.
Okay. To God be the glory. And by the way, you look lovely. You look like you went and just became a glamour girl.
Okay.
I ain't supposed to say that live, am I? Well, you know what? To God be the glory. Our minds are really teenagers. Let me encourage you now to fix your eyes on Jesus. Okay? Everybody. Because this is where we're supposed to be. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the love of Jesus that you've given us. Lord Jesus, without the Father drawing us to you, we couldn't come to you on our own. And certainly without you introducing us to Father and you being that doorway to allow us to come in before his holy presence, we wouldn't know him. And Father, we thank you for the gift of eternal life, which is your Son, Jesus. And that the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that you sent him here so that we wouldn't be orphans and never without your presence. We thank you that Holy Spirit is here with us right now as we gather together in your name. Lord, the young lady that was hurting, that walked by the ministry, we're asking you now, first of all, to allow your amazing grace to take place in her heart, and that your love will be overwhelming to her, and that your joy will flood her soul. And we're asking, Lord, that you would draw her unto your Son, Jesus. And the situation that she's in, Lord, we're asking for comfort, that her spirit will be soothed by your spirit. And we pray for her salvation if she doesn't know you. And Lord, for the others that's here, Chrissy that's traveling abroad, Lord, I pray that she will encounter ISIS. I really do. And I pray, Lord, that one that belonged to ISIS would surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ as she ministered the gospel to him. And that one would go back and tell the others and let it be a ripple effect.
Yes.
Because your desire, Lord Jesus, you told us through Peter that the perfect will of God is that no man should perish, but all come to repentance. That means, Father, you don't want not one human to be eternally lost. And I pray, Lord, for others that are not mentioned by name. The man's life that was saved in McDonald's this morning that Matthew and I witnessed as we prayed, as the paramedics worked on him. We thank you for that. We thank you, dear God, for it. There's miracles flowing around us every day. And we thank you for your holy angels that's encamped around us. And God, above all, we thank you for listening to your son, Jesus, and sending us the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us and in us. And we're asking now that you take this lesson. You are our chief teacher. And we're asking also that you bless the harvest, Lord. Jesus, you are the Lord of the harvest. You've already sent laborers. Now we're asking you to send the harvest Thursday. That we, Lord, will reap what we didn't plant for the glory of your name. Have your way now, Lord, as we look intensely at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, we hit this a little bit last week. Praise be to God. We did get through chapter 2.
Oh, we did?
We did.
Oh, we did.
And we entered into chapter 3. Just got to the top portion of it. But I want to restate something here. Okay? The word says here, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, or worldly, as to infants in Christ. They knew they were young in the faith and their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew that. So he's taking his time with them. He's taking his time. I was reading something. This is kind of off course a little bit. I was interested in my heart about Nebuchadnezzar the last couple of days. As I looked in chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the book of Daniel, now, Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man on earth. Very proud man, too. But you know what God did? God took and used that man for his glory, and God humbled him. And this man witnessed some amazing things. He watched Jesus Christ walk in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He watched that. He even testified. He wrote a letter. Daniel put it in his book, where Nebuchadnezzar said, I have witnessed the great things of the Most High God. Now, this was a pagan man. And God sent word back to him that I'm about to do a transformation with you, Nebuchadnezzar. I'm about to show you who really is God. And it made Nebuchadnezzar like a beast of the field for 7 years. And at the end of that 7-year period, Nebuchadnezzar was transformed into believing that the God of heaven and earth is God. Very, very powerful. Now, how does that relate to this? The Corinthians were pagans just like Nebuchadnezzar. And as God made a believer out of Nebuchadnezzar, Jesus Christ by the Spirit made believers out of the Corinthians. And so as he made believers out of them, now they have to take on a new growth. There has to be a new wiring in their minds. Okay? The old circuit boards have to be torn out and new ones put in. Otherwise, a new way of thinking.
Amen.
A new attitude has to be built. Okay? A new foundation has to be laid. In fact, it had already been laid. The foundation is so new, you can still smell it. You remember the old wooden houses when they would build the flooring? You remember smelling the pine or whatever it was? Yeah, you can smell it until the house become cured. Then you don't smell the smell anymore. But here, these Corinthians' lives had to be changed. Some of us are still refusing to allow the Holy Spirit to bring about a change because we still like to hold on to some of the old things. For some, we say it pleases us, or when I see a Christian smoking, for example, and smoking won't keep you out of hell, it's just a deliverance that needs to be made. I say, well, why are you doing that? It makes me feel good. And go, really? Well, can you trust God? Because I used to be a drinker. I used to drink scotch straight up. Okay, on the rocks. And people say, what you doing? You're making me feel good. Then I will act a fool. Because now I no longer control my faculties. It did. Okay? But when Jesus Christ came into my life, I no longer needed the alcohol to feel good. Okay? I had something that was beyond this physical realm to make me feel good. Every time I opened up the Word of God, the Lord began to show me those moments like, did you see that? You know how I like to, did you see that? Did you just hear what I heard? And I'm still getting that. 30-something years later, I'm still getting those, wow! Look at God!
That high.
And one day somebody pulled me down off the walls. The Lord just showed me. Or, look, God, I don't want, don't go in that door, Jesus. I don't need you to look in that room of my heart. That door needs to stay closed. Anybody got some doors like that? Y'all call them skeletons in the closet. All right. But anyway, no matter what, this Corinthian church had a lot of things that needed to be changed. So, he started them, he said, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. So I guess some time had elapsed. Because in order for him to say, you're still not ready, that means that he had been what? Teaching them. He had been feeding them. He had stayed with them some months, by the way. And who knows how long it may have taken this letter to get from Ephesus to Corinth, too. May have been some weeks, may have been some months. Because they didn't have cabs and they didn't have FedEx in those days. So either they walked or they rode a mule if they could afford one. Or they got on a, what? A boat. And still, there was a certain amount of walking that they still had to do.
Right.
And so, the length of time, we know some time expired, Michael, some time expired. So they should have digested what they had already been what?
Fed.
Now, what do you think they may have been fed? Okay, that's an easy one for you. Make it specific. You ain't getting away that easy. What do you think they've been fed?
How to live, how to act, how to be.
Okay. Think deeper. Who were these people? What made up the Corinthian church?
God.
Okay.
No idols.
What was the culture type here? Or the nationalities? What are we referring to? What made up the Corinthian church?
Gentiles.
Gentiles and who? They were Greeks and
Jews.
So at least on the Jew side, they should have been taught
Jesus.
Well, they did. That's what made them saved. But prior to that, as Jews, they should have been taught what?
The Torah.
The Torah, which is what?
First five. Yeah.
Well, look, probably more than the Torah at this time. Well, if you specifically would have said the Pentateuch, then we would have said the five books.
Moses' law.
But, yeah, the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, okay, which would have consisted of the entire what we call the Old Testament. So they had a foundation already established, some of them. And for those who were new to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, all together, Paul told them about it. And here's what both groups had to be told. What do you think both groups had to be told about?
Prophecies.
Prophecies. And what did those prophecies do?
Pointed
to Jesus. So both groups had to be told about Jesus in order to believe in him. Okay? Is this making any sense to you? What about you, young lad? Is it making sense to you? Okay. So, as a Jew, then the teaching for me would have been to show me from the Torah that Jesus is the Messiah. And if I was a Greek, I had to be told all together. Right? And moving along, then both groups had to be told that he did what on a cross?
Died.
Okay? And that's why Paul said to them, the only thing I want to know among you is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay? So both groups had to know this. And it's going to get really deep as you get towards the end of this book. Because then he's going to do a quantum leap with them. And he's going to show them some stuff that no one had ever been shown before. Yes.
No.
So anyway, he's telling them about, look here, you act like you've never been saved. You act like you've never been born again. Because you got enough Jesus Christ in you right now to know that something has happened to you. That you're not the same. And there's one thing that happened to you in order for you to be saved. It's one little word. For the Greek, it's called metanoia. Repentance. Both groups. So that means you had to have a change of lifestyle, change of life altogether, not just the style.
Amen.
Okay? That means that was a heart transformation that had to take place. Both of you groups know this. Okay? You don't necessarily have to have a college degree to know right from wrong, right? You know that a lie is a lie, that a lie is a lie, right? And you know that a lie is wrong, right? And you know that a lie is called sin, right? Okay, that's been established. Give him a college degree now. So you don't need a whole lot of education to understand that killing is wrong. Right? Poking is wrong. That's invading. So,
we know that a lie does not fix a lie.
No, a lie doesn't fix a lie. It just makes it a bigger lie. Okay? But regardless of where you come from, Paul is saying, you've been given enough of the gospel of Jesus Christ to know that your life must change. You can't use those excuses, say, well, Lord, I didn't know. Because the word repentance says you do know. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's why you repent.
Right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. So why are you still acting like you're not even saved? Because that's what he said here. Are you not acting like mere men? Are you not worldly? Means that you're still living like sinners.
Haven't made the change.
You haven't really changed. And you know what frustrates me? I tell myself that all the time. What's wrong with you, knucklehead? You of all people know better. Why are you thinking like this? Why are you acting like this? I say this to myself all the time. Because that's what brings about repentance. When you recognize that what you are doing is wrong in the eyes of God, it's what makes you different than the rest of the world. Okay. 4 when one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants. Okay? When you decide to follow one group or another, people, well, you're saying that, pow, I just created a denomination. Because after all, isn't that what divides Christianity today?
That's correct.
That's true.
Oh, I don't go here because you're Catholic and we don't do that. Or we're Seventh-day Adventists and we don't do it. Or we're Baptists, we don't do it that way. Or we're Methodists, we got a more better method. Or we're Presbyterian, so we're Reformed. Or whatever way you want to throw out there, right? And so you're saying, well, we can't do what you do, so we go over here and do our own thing. It speaks out against that right there. Okay? And it tells you. Then, verse 6, put 6 to the top, sweetheart. Yes, question.
Who's Apollos?
Yeah. Apollos was one of the brothers in Christ that I told you accompanied Paul. And he was the one that the husband and wife team, Priscilla and Aquila, set him aside because he had heard about John baptism and all and the repentance, but he didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And no. Well, he became a great follower of Jesus Christ and teacher. One of Paul's traveling companions. So, he's going to lay it out. I planted the seed. Okay? Our King James Version, I have planted. Paul said, I planted the seed by giving the word of God, by preaching the gospel. I plant the seed, right? Apollos come along and he watered it. Otherwise, he continued to do what? Give you the word, help nurture you, set example, godly examples before you, so that you know how to grow. So both are working together and not against each other. Because it takes someone to put the seed in the ground and takes somebody to water the seed. Alright? With all that, what happens to the seed? The seed just die and do nothing unless God does something with it. It just doesn't grow on its own. And you're right, big brother. But it just doesn't grow by itself. God, by his spirit, goes inside that seed and makes that seed change structure and take on a whole new life. And you can call it a metamorphosis take place with the seed. It no longer stays a seed. It become a life living plant.
Amen.
Seed is nothing to anybody unless it's planted. Then it comes forth as a nice tender plant. And as you nurture it by watering and fertilizing it, what's going to happen? Then it will produce a what? Fruit or a harvest. That's all done by God himself. Not by you and not by me. So what is he saying by that? That God added increase. God made it grow. That when you subject yourself to the Spirit of God through the teachings of God, by the people of God, what's going to happen is God is going to help you change.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to grow from that infant in Christ to a full, mature, adult woman or man in Christ Jesus. That's what's going to happen to you. But the more you resist the teachings of the Holy Ghost in the Word of God by the people of God, guess what's going to happen to your life? You're not going anywhere. You're going to remain as if you had never been born again. And people are going to say, I thought you were going to church. I thought you were saved. And I'm going to tell you, people will call you out on it. The world will call you out on it.
Because you're not producing fruit.
And then the biggest lie that's told under the sun is that I don't have to go to church to serve God. Then no spiritual growth is taking place.
Amen.
Because you're outside the will of God.
That's
Lord Jesus did not set it up that way. If you don't believe me, read Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, and find out what needs to happen. By the way, matter of fact, Emily, will you do this for me, darling? Put it up here. Ephesians, not there. Come over to this one. Come over to this one. Do it there. Ephesians, right here. Bring up chapter 4. Chapter 4, right there. Now scroll down to verse 11. Put it to the top. Let's take a look here. Matter of fact, let's listen. Here we are. Y'all ready? And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Okay? For the equipping of the saints for the work of what? Service or ministry. That word can be interchangeable there. Why? To build up the body of Christ. What does build up means? Anybody know? Anybody know what build up means?
Change, grow.
Change, grow, yes. Mature. So how are you going to do that if you're staying away from the body?
Right after college.
How's that going to take place if you are a solo, if you're a hermit, a lone ranger, a Miss Sally? I don't know what you call yourself. Okay. How can these people adequately do the job that the Holy Ghost say that they are to do if you're staying home, if you're staying away from the body? How can you help carry out the body's mission if you're staying home? You can't. You can't. Father, in Jesus' name, touch him. And so, here we go. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The Apostle Paul, even though he wrote that, he struggled with it. Because over in Philippians chapter 3, he talks about pressing towards the mark of the higher calling in Christ Jesus. And he talked about, he said, I'm stretched out, Michael. He said, I'm stretched beyond measure here. And I'm trying to reach this mark of excellence. He said, not that I have already attained it. He said, but I'm stretching towards that mark of the higher calling in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the man that God used to teach the church. And he said, I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. So if he's not there yet, where are we?
We're really not there yet.
Yeah. And so... you can put this one back on Ephesians 3, verse 6. So, this is where we are. Look at it saying, so neither who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. God is the one that gets the credit.
Yeah.
Okay? So why are so many people trying to follow certain preachers or go to a certain church, or they want you to belong to a certain denomination? And if you don't, they tell you that you're not saved, or you're not this, you're not that. When Paul made it simply, we're nothing without God. And Jonah, I think it's in Jonah chapter 2, he says, salvation belongs to the Lord. Yahweh, that is. So, who are you and me then? Without him, we're nothing. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, we are nothing. Amen. And they're making it very clear here. Okay? And teenagers, this is one of the best lessons. Wake them up, because you can slip at home. This is one of the best lessons that you and I can get. It is. That God is the one who teaches us every day by the Spirit. Lord Jesus gets it from God. And then he turns and gives it to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost gives it to us.
Amen.
Okay? So neither he who plants nor he who waters anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. Did you get that?
Yeah.
We got one purpose.
Plant.
And what is that?
Yeah.
And each will be rewarded according to his own labor.
You either plant or you water.
Either you're planting or you're watering.
Amen.
You're not making that person grow. That's the Holy Ghost's job. But we do have a responsibility to take the word to them.
Amen.
We do have a responsibility to get them engaged in ministry. When Chrissy first came here, ask her what I did to her.
What happened, Chrissy?
No! What did I do to you?
You made me teach.
I make her teach. Sit down. Teach the word of God. The kids are waiting on you. She going, but Pastor
Sam. I couldn't do nothing. He wouldn't let me have a Bible.
No, Pastor Sam, I just sit. Ask Emma what I've done to her. What I've made you do, Emma? I made you do what? Teach. Arve, what have I made you do? Arve, what have I made you do? Teach. Zor. Who always said, I can't do that. What I make you do? Can't hear you. What I make you do? Yes. Emily, what did I make you do? Huh? Come on. What did I make you do, Emily? I have made you.
Uh-huh.
I made everybody. You come here, you're going to learn. You're going to be equipped. Okay? CJ taught. He said, sit down. He said, no, no, no. I go, oh boy, he likes all to do. But he won't give all the little stinker. But it was cute. So what are you ladies doing Mother's Day?
We're teaching.
Uh-huh. What are you dickens doing on Father's Day?
Teaching.
Okay. So everybody, it's our job as leadership of the church is to equip you. And if we can get Michael here to a decent hour, guess what we're going to make him do? We're going to equip him. Okay? Because that's what we are supposed to do.
Amen.
Okay? So, God will reward you according to your own work. Now, you decide whether or not you want God to give you something nice when you get to heaven. Hello. Some people are comfortable just by getting in the door. I'm not.
They might close the door on me.
I want to be as close to Lord Jesus as possible.
Some like to warm up the pews and that's it.
Yeah.
Go to church.
But they're not obeying because this here says that you must be at work in the body of Christ. And how can you be at work in the body of Christ if you're staying away from it? Or if you're church hopping? If you're not planting those feet somewhere and being established in the faith, you're not doing Jesus any good. Okay? Verse 9. Thank you, doll. For we are laborers together with God. Now, that's the part that you need to make the connection with. When the pastor or prophet or teacher, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ asks you to do something, or a deacon, they're asking you by way of the mouth of God himself. Because you're co-laboring with who?
God.
With God. You mean to tell me I get to go to work with God today? You betcha. But what me and God gonna do? Well, ask the Holy Ghost. He gonna tell you.
That's what he did with
me
Sunday.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Made me wait. But it was always on time, right?
Yeah.
Always on time. So next time, go, shoot, Pastor, I don't want to do that. Okay. Remember who you are working with today. Yeah, I go, eh. Now, of all people, Miss Timidity right here sat down and taught the children. So there's a measure of growth taking place in all of you since you've been coming here. And it's all because of God himself. Don't you know I labor alongside with you, alongside God? So by me being up here teaching, guess what I'm doing? I'm standing by my Father teaching you. We're teaching the class together. Okay? And I was looking at the time for a reason. Not that I'm ready to quit. Just looking at the time. All right. Now, you are God's field, God's building. What does that mean? You're God's field, you're God's building. Okay, look at this side. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. What does that mean? Yes.
You take care of the people that
you... Yes! You are the gardener. That's another fancy word for gardener.
Husbandry?
Yes.
Oh, remember, yeah.
You've seen that first listed in John chapter 15, verse 1.
I looked that up the other day.
You did? It's gardener, right?
Yeah.
So you're someone that takes and nurture the plants to health. You nurture them all the way up to harvest. Yes?
Yeah.
In modern day times, we call it discipleship. What is a disciple? And if you tell me a follower of Jesus, I'm going to throw this pen at you.
A preacher, a teacher.
A disciple is a long standing, long life
worker,
student of Jesus Christ.
That's what you are.
That's what we all are.
You are.
We all are students, just on different levels. Because when I was in seminary, when I was in my master's program, my professor, one of them in particular, Dr. Higgins, Sammy, I need you to teach my class Tuesday and Wednesday. Yes, sir, what am I going to teach them? Anything you want. Okay, who am I teaching? The undergraduates. Did you get that? I was in graduate school. They're an undergraduate. So I go down and I teach the undergraduate. The doctoral students teaches the graduates. And doctoral students teach, the doctors teach doctoral students. So now I'm on the level that I can do what? I can teach them all. So, but I was a student teaching students. I was known as a student teacher. And that rascal would do me like that. Sammy, yes, sir. I need you to teach my class. Yes, sir.
That's because you were a good teacher.
Said, okay. I would be just as nervous because you know those students are going to go back and tell him. Now, he taught us. All right. But it would always be evangelism. That's where my heart lies. Okay, so, Miss Vicky, you get the apple of the day.
And farmer is another.
Farmer is another, that's right. So, verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. So now I am a builder. Paul was a master builder. What are we building? I think the answer is right above you. He said, you are God's building. So a master builder is building on the building. So we must be doing what? Making new...
Building a church.
Yes, the church of the people. So we're out there taking little Blakes and making them into big Blakes in the Lord. Okay?
So a building is not a church, it's the people.
It's the people.
Yeah.
Okay? In German, a Gebäude. Don't worry about it. I met a German couple today. So I got a chance, who were Christians, by the way. They recognized from my hat. They say they love Jesus. Okay. A master builder, I have laid the foundation and another build thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. Very, very critical here. Paul is telling this infant church, be careful who you allow to come in and teach you. Uh-huh. You don't want somebody coming in teaching you some junk. They must teach you the pure word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ, everybody? That's right, from Genesis to Revelation. That's the gospel. Not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Truly, they are gospel, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is from Genesis.
Go to cover.
Yeah, from, okay, cover to cover. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. All right. So, you want somebody that knows what they're doing. Someone who's walking with the Spirit. So when they mess up, the Spirit slap them upside the head and say, what you doing? Yeah. How many times have I had to come back and say to y'all, I kind of messed that one up.
Not very often.
But not so long ago I had to do that, didn't I?
But yeah. You do it.
Yeah, you have to, because I have the most highest accountability in all existence. I'm accountable to God himself when it comes to the things of God. And if I muck this up, you betcha I will stand before Lord Jesus and give account if I don't straighten it out. So why have the means by the Holy Ghost to come and fix it? I better be doing it. And if you all allow somebody to start teaching you some false stuff, just don't, okay? All right. Verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of man.
Amen.
Without him, you cannot exist. Period. And even he told us that in his very first sermon. Did he not? About the man building a house upon the rock and the other one building a house upon the sand. And when the waters came and beat up on both houses, what happened?
One on the rock stood,
the other one on the sand crashed and burned. Well, not burned, but surely floated away. Okay? Jesus Christ is God's foundation for us. And if you're built upon another foundation other than Jesus, you don't belong to God.
You can't stand.
It will not stand. Okay? Look at that puppy love going on back there. Now, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, now, that's the part y'all need to pay attention to. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, what is day? What is day?
Okay.
What is day?
Jesus.
Judgment.
Oh, judgment. Revelation.
Day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. What does that mean? It means this. It means exactly what it means. Gold survives fire. Silver survives fire. Bronze survives fire. So does iron. But hay and stubble does not, or do not survive fire.
Understood.
Okay, let's give some examples. Yes.
What you do for the Lord after you're saved during your lifetime will be tested by fire.
Yes, ma'am. Exactly. And if you're doing it to be seen, guess what? It's going to burn.
And stubble.
And stubble. It's going to burn. And if you're doing it because somebody else told you to do it, guess what's going to happen to you?
Burn.
It's going to burn. But if the Holy Ghost told you to do it, and you go and do it, guess what? It's going to do what? It's going to stand. It's going to survive. Okay? As much as I wanted to walk away this ministry because I felt hurt, and I felt, for some stupid reason, I need to be pastoring somewhere else, somewhere bigger, somewhere more glamorous, God said, keep your butt put. Okay.
Glamorous to us.
And I have to say to God, whatever your will is, let your will be done.
Well, if you walk away, it might make us walk away and not go to a church. You don't know.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be responsible for you stumbling. Okay. So I'm staying put until the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Come, son, go over there." Or go over here. Yes, ma'am.
Once he told you to stay put, did he show you little glimpses of the work, how your work is fruitful and how you're needed where you are?
Yes, he did. Because every time I look at you all,
amen,
I see Jesus. I see a level of growth by the Holy Ghost taking place in you all. And I sit back going, God, I can't believe you use this little timid boy. I'm going to tell you what happens. If it's okay, if it's permitted for me to share it with you all. I still remember my third grade picture. Wearing a white shirt, black pants, and I had the most cheeky smile. I mean a wide, cheeky smile. I always remember that kid. And I always say, Lord, I can't believe you use me. And I was a kid, believe it or not, even though I had a little cheeky smile, I was a kid that was most picked on.
Me too.
And I didn't have a good impression of myself. I always seen other people better than me. And so today I'm still looking back going, I can't believe you did that, Lord. I can't believe you did that. But he does whatever he desires with our lives. Okay? Jeremiah 29:11. I know my plans that I have for you in Jesus' name. Yes?
That's right.
So, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. Remember I tell you Paul was going to do a little bit of slapping around? Mm. He's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the temple here he's referring to is the Holy Ghost body-filled temple. Us, called the body of Christ.
Born again.
Okay.
So
we're to take care this thing called the church.
But they're not. He's not talking about killing somebody. He's talking about destroying their faith.
You got it. We're not to do things to be damaging to our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be doing things that's going to damage someone else's walk with the Lord. We have to be very careful about that. So God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred or holy. And you are that temple. Notice he didn't point to any individual. He told them collectively here. You, Corinthians, are the temple of God. And he could say that to every congregation that he comes to. You are the temple of God, witnesses of Christ. You are. So if you want to start monkeying around with each other and get in fights and act a fool and walk away from this thing, you are destroying the temple and God's going to destroy you. So we need to be getting along, doing the work of God, so that the Lord Jesus Christ should bring in others into his family.
Amen. And doesn't he say in another part that if you, that it would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the depths of the sea?
Yes. Actually, Lord Jesus said that during one of his teachings. And he was using a child as an analogy to a newborn again believer. And say it's better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck. And it's always interesting how Lord Jesus did that, because there was a place called Migdal. Does that name sound familiar to anybody here? There was a famous lady in the Bible, and she's still famous in the Catholic Church in a sense, by the name of Mary. Where do you think she was from? She was from Middel, therefore her last name is, she's called Magdalene from being from Middel. Oh. Guess what they manufactured at Middel? Millstones. And Middel sat right on the western shores of the Sea of Galilee. So they would have known what that meant to have a millstone tied around their neck and cast into the midst of the sea. They would have known what that meant. And they all know that that heavy millstone would have did what to them? Chug them down to the bottom.
Okay?
What's that first thing is a millstone for?
What's the first part?
Mill.
What is mill?
Grinding wheat and grinding grain.
Yes! Millstone. You got it. So, pretty fascinating stuff here that the Lord gives us through the eyes of Paul. Okay? Anyway, so look at verse 18 and then we'll close out here. Do not deceive yourselves. Got that? And he said, King James says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a
fool.
Y'all remember what I told you a fool is? Empty-headed. Means you don't know anything. Okay? That he may be what?
Wise.
In other words, he can become teachable. All right? Cast out what you think you know so that God can teach you his way. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he take the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are what? The Greeks, boy, that who got a big slap then? Who got a big slap then, Michael? Chrissy? Who got a big slap there? The Greeks did. Why? Because that's what all they thought about. Okay? Where do you think this term philosophy come from? Yeah. Which means lover of wisdom. Okay? Sophia is wisdom. Philosophy. Phil from Philadelphia. Philo, love. And Sophia, wisdom. Lover of wisdom. Okay? Philosophy. Lover of wisdom. And that's what the Greeks sought. They sought to listen to something wise. All right. So listen what happens. So God look at it. He laughs at you. All right. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. And the word futile means empty. Okay. And then, so then, no more boasting about men. See that? So then, no more boasting about who?
Men.
Don't ever brag on your pastor. Don't ever brag on your musician, leader, or director, whatever title we want to give ourselves nowadays, right? ever brag on man for anything. Brag on who?
Jesus
or God. And I think Jeremiah said that. Chapter 17, verse 17, I think it says, save me, Lord, and I'll be saved. Clean me, I'll be clean. You are my boast. Okay? You're my bragging rights, God. I brag on you. Okay?
The world puts a lot of that we're not supposed to do to men on sports, all those musicians, all the famous singers.
Yeah. That's why I couldn't believe Christians came out with a Dove Award. I'm going, what's that? That being just like the world. Oh, gospel album of the year. Well, if you're doing it for that, you might as well not do it before God. You're boasting in yourselves. You're just like the world.
Just what he said not to do.
Just what he said don't do. Want to brag on somebody? Brag on Jesus.
Amen.
Last time I looked, the way you play a piano don't cause you to walk on water. I'm picking on Miss Vicky if y'all didn't get it.
Yeah,
in the hot seat. Or the way you take care of horses don't make you famous. I wonder who that is. Hint, hint. All right, we're finishing up. Finishing up here. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Got that? For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's.
Amen.
Boy, did he put it in order.
That says it all right there.
So you want to brag on somebody? Yeah, baby, look at us. We belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to God. You go, God. I don't hear y'all saying that. You know, look at those stupid preachers talking like that.
We have to go for apple mouth surgery.
And so, Corinthians got a good lesson, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 3 kind of fun, isn't it? Until you, that person.
Until we get slapped around.
That's right. Until you, that person. Hi, y'all. And our day is coming.
Yeah.
And I see myself all the time in these, Lord. And I'm going, ouch. Ooh, Lord. Oh, no. Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, yeah, sit down.
Now you know who you belong to.
I go, uh-oh.
Yes, sir.
And they always get me while I'm driving, too. They go, uh-huh, you remember when you looked at that? Uh-huh, you remember when you thought that? Uh-huh, you remember when you said that? Uh-huh. Why you got to do that to me now? I'm God. I do whenever I want to. Yes, sir. You're right. No. You can't argue with God.
He knows when he can get your attention.
Yes. Because I'm usually driving by myself unless Max is with me, and most of the time he's sleeping or messing with something, right? So, God got way of getting our attention. Chrissy, you ready to go to sleep? No, you can't go to sleep. Ain't nobody tell you to stay up so long. So, well, we're looking into a good chapter next time, chapter 4. It's really now he's bringing structure. Okay? Structure. He's challenging what structure need to be. Now you got some accountability to do to the people that God used to put the church in order. And it's not so to the people, but to God in the people who's directing his affairs on earth. That's where we're going to in chapter 4. You may not like some of it. I just got one thing to say to you. Take it up with him. He wrote the book. I'm being a stinker, that's all. Okay, any questions? All right, let's pray. And I'm going to hang around. I got a back room to clean up. Father, we thank you so much for your love. And it really is good, Lord Jesus, to kind of laugh and have fun in your word. But the reality of it all is there's accountability. that we're all going to have to give, and that's to you. We all will stand before your judgment seat someday. And whether our works are good or bad, on that day only you would know. And then you will reveal it to us. And so, Lord, we're praying that the Holy Ghost would take what we have from this moment forward and help us to have works of gold and works of silver and precious stones and not a hay or stubble or wood. We don't want our works burning up. We want our works to be pleasing to you. Have your way with us. Watch over Israel. Watch over our country. Bring both to salvation. And allow your spirit to dwell in us. In the precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord.